A little disclaimer here before we get into the thick of the podcast, and that is this podcast is definitely for more mature audiences. Parents, I would definitely recommend listening first, as also for a trigger warning, there are discussions around self-harm and suicide ideation. So if there's anybody out there listening that knows somebody that needs help or feels like they need help with anything related to mental health, I would highly recommend calling the hotline at 988. As always, thank you for listening, and here's the podcast. All right, here we go. Episode one. And my goal for these videos is to keep them relatively short. I don't want to get into the hour plus time frame. My hope is that it's max 20, maybe 30, but I don't really think I have a 30-minute talk in me. Maybe I do, but I just want to give as much information and as many helpful things to everybody that might be watching this in an efficient way, because something that tends to bother me when I'm watching videos is that there's sometimes, not all the time, sometimes there's more information given that is needed. And in a day and age where everyone is so busy, things need to be said with efficiency. So that's what I'm going to try to do. So bear with me. I want to do that, and I want to give enough context to who I am that it is impactful and helpful and creates understanding for you, the viewer or listener, I should say. So, basic information. I'm from Crofton, Maryland, which is essentially a suburb town in outside Annapolis. I grew up playing lacrosse when I was 5 years old, and it's been my number one priority since. I immediately fell in love and became good at it, and good enough that I began receiving praise for it. I began receiving praise for my academics, and soon those two things became a part of who I was. And it's a pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Pretty standard, I would say at this point. You know, I feel like there's so many stories and people talking about how they make their sports their identity and why we should not do that. I am another story and reason why not to. But yeah, I fell right into it. And I especially did. And this is important on a personal note, because again, something I want to do is bring to light things that maybe might not be discussed, but I want to help people feel not alone in it. And it's hard to believe now that I did feel this way, but I did. And that is when I was in high school. I will say I grew up also super religious. I was a grew up Catholic. I was a Eucharistic minister. Altar server, was heavily involved in the youth group. I went to a Catholic high school, and also caveat, I don't hold anything against Catholic religion. It gave me a lot of really, really great moral principles. And for example, I think why one of my character strengths is humility is because of that upbringing. Why I can't lie, why I feel the need to always be authentic and tell my truth. Is because of that, and it absolutely made me who I am. So not upset, don't hold anything against that. This was just how I experienced it and what happened to me. But what happened with that when I was trying so hard to be the perfect student athlete, and then I had that, realizing that I was gay, and all of a sudden I wasn't perfect anymore. It hit me so hard that every time I tried to, you know, go and I failed, if I got a bad grade or I didn't play as good as I thought I should, what ended up happening was I felt so mad at myself And I really hated myself in those moments for not being the person that I was supposed to be, that unfortunately I ended up physically harming myself. And it's something I absolutely regret. I wish I didn't do that to myself. But what it allowed me to do is now is I understand more than anybody when the athletes I coach now are hard on themselves. Because I was right there. I was so hard on myself that I literally thought it would it I deserve to be harmed for how bad I was. Bad, yes, in quotes, because I was not bad at all. And so, I guess that's one of the first lessons I would say for coaches, for parents, is to just always make sure that no matter what mistake your athletes are making, you have to make sure that they know that they are worthy, they're cared for, they're loved for, and that we begin to continually normalize and even push athletes to make mistakes and for them to understand and feel that they are good. Mistakes are good because they enable us to learn. So, as much as we can push that messaging, please do. And I really continued to experience this as I got into college. My senior year in high school, I was so happy. When I committed to Stanford before that senior year, I thought all my problems would go away. I got into this great school here. My life is set. I'm good now. And then I got to college and realized, holy cow, I'm in a whole nother world. I went into this class every day feeling like the dumbest person in the room. I failed my first ever class called Introduction to Brain and Behavior, which is ironic now because that is what consumes my time. And the only place that I felt any kind of relief was on the lacrosse field. And so, again, when that wasn't going well, it felt like my whole world was coming to an end. Now, I eventually did reach out to somebody and got some help for the self-harm. So that had stopped, which is very grateful. But what I didn't work on is who I am as a person and being okay with that truly. And so again, we go into, a senior year where we're supposed to have my class was our coach's first recruiting class. And so we felt like we are the group that's going to get us the furthest we ever had before. And personally, I felt that. I recently was, that season before, was named to the Tort and Watch list. So I felt, yep, I got this. I need to be perfect because I need to be the very best goalie in the whole country. And so when that wavered at all, I felt like I let everybody down and it just led to so many spirals. And eventually I ended up getting benched in the last game of my career as a goalie. And that, as you can imagine, as somebody who identifies as an athlete fully and tries to do the right thing, is a perfectionist, I felt so many emotions then. What it did do though is put me at a place of rock bottom where I had to start to figure out a little bit. Now, my first job, I worked as a program director for the Washington Inner City Lacrosse Foundation. And at that point in my life is where I refound my love for the game of lacrosse. And it absolutely amazed me and inspired me and pushed me to understand that more people need to be playing this game. So that's where a lot of that comes from. I grew up predominantly white area. Stanford was a really great experience. I learned so much about diversity there, but didn't really think about it too much, honestly, in context of our sport. And it wasn't until I got to Winners that I really realized the discrepancy and the need to keep pushing for it in our sport. So that's where a lot of that comes from. However, within that, I still felt this pressure to be somebody I wasn't because, I went to a school like Stanford and I see my peers going to med school and getting jobs at Google. And I felt like because I was working in lacrosse that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. and left that and worked for a cybersecurity public relations company. At the same time, I was coaching a club team in Baltimore and always looked forward to that 5 o'clock time where I could go coach that team. Now, what's crazy as a side note, that team was a 2025 team who now I'm seeing some of those kids, one of them even committed to Stanford, which was total full circle moment. Unbelievable. And from that, I started to realize that something wasn't right here with what I was doing. I also, during that time, I got hip surgery, and when you can't really move much, and I started gaining weight, and I went into a very deep depression at that point. And with not liking my job, I hit a bottom, a really low bottom where I felt like I honestly didn't even want to be alive anymore. Those thoughts were popping up more frequently. And unfortunately, a family friend of ours ended their life. And it was at that funeral that I realized I couldn't live like this anymore. So I decided to get help. And then, in getting help, a few months later, one of my teammates from high school is running a program in Los Angeles. And I decided this is when I need to take charge of my life and do what I want to do with it. And so I moved to Los Angeles, and that's where I dove into coaching high school, middle school, and youth. And I was coaching a high school out there. I realized that there's so much that athletes need help with. And I dove into learning about strength and conditioning, about mental performance, about wellness and nutrition, and getting various certifications. And I've continued to do that since that point, which was about in 2018. And through that time, I've realized that this is what I'm supposed to do. There was a part of me that thought I really needed to get into college coaching, and I knew if I didn't do it, there was going to be a part of me that asked, what if? What if I did it? Could I do it? And that was an amazing experience. I loved being a part of that. All the teams I was with were phenomenal. And again, just I can't say how grateful I am, and how great it is to watch the athletes now and thrive now, and seeing them in places where they were struggling before. That's exactly why I coach. And I still have just come to this place, though, that kids need help at younger ages. Because they're still struggling in college with some of these similar things. They need to be reached at younger points in their life. So that is what I'm doing right now, and they need to be reached younger, and they need coaches who are going to support them properly from those younger ages. It's not just goalies, even though, yes, I love them. I'm going to talk about goalies because they are still ignored. I hear it all the time. They're just not treated the way they should. Coaches are not looking out for them, but there are a lot of coaches that do want to help them, and I want to talk to them. The people that are curious about wanting to help even from parents, they want to help their daughters. They want to support them in the right ways. Coaches want to support their athletes. And those are the people that I want to talk to because they're willing to listen. And on the flip side, I want to talk to them so I can learn from them because I know, even though I know a lot, I don't know everything. I will admit that. I don't think I'll ever consider myself an expert in my entire life. I'm always going to be learning because you never know everything. If anybody considers them an expert, something wrong there, because then you're not growing if you're not learning, and you can't be the best if you're not getting better. Just my philosophy. So that's really a really quick rundown of where I've been and where I am. Again, I'm still working on myself. I'm now the head coach of the Spanish national team, and I'm playing and preparing them, preparing us, preparing myself for the European Championship. I'm the vice president of the Spanish Lacrosse Board because, to my point earlier, I want more people to experience this game, and I just want to help wherever and however I can, and I want to meet people that want to do the same thing and want to make a positive impact in our sport and in this world, honestly. And that's why my saying is work hard and spread love always, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. There's a lot of hate and negativity going on in this world, and good things happen when you work hard and when you spread love. That's all for today. I hope that this was enjoyable. I hope there was some kind of lesson learned in this. Whoever is listening, again, I'm always open to feedback on what I'm talking about, how I'm delivering this message. I want to get better at it. So I appreciate your help in helping me grow and being my best self. Until next time.